Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Sacramento is at the top of a ranking of foodie cities. The Empire State Building has a new view, and Uber is about to launch a new pet feature. Details coming next.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we talk about how the recent devaluation of airline points has made chasing a dream trip a lot more difficult. And did you know that Folsom has a passenger airport? Expedia does. And we'll even get you a hotel room at the end of the runway.
Amazing, but true. And those end-of-the-runway rooms in Folsom, anybody will tell you, are really, really hard to get. Speaking of things you need to get, Real ID is one of them. And at 3:35, we have a first-person account of how the process works.
Is it actually possible to see 365 sporting events in 365 days? Well, we're going to talk to a man who made the attempt. And that's coming up at 3:50.
We have a great show coming up for you today. Thanks for joining us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All our born and men.
I come from a land, land, land.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, as always. And don't forget now, links to what we talk about, as well as other really cool stuff that we just can't cover because there's just too much to cover, can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Hey there, Mark. How
hey,
you be?
I be very good. Last week, we had that tease, you know, about putting the shoe in the safe, and why did you put one shoe in the safe? And
yeah, of course, that's did you have any ramifications?
So you don't forget what you, the reason you put one shoe in the safe is because you're not leaving without a shoe.
Right.
You won't leave anything in the safe.
Yeah.
So today, we have a very special guest in the studio. She has a very special connection to the Travel Guys, but we will not divulge who she is or what her connection is until 3:35.
Another compelling tease on the Travel Guys to keep you on the edge of your car seat.
Yes, or at least in the line at In-N-Out Burger.
All right. Well, how was your week? What have you been doing?
I was mostly around Sacramento, except I had the opportunity to go, Tom, and see something in San Francisco yesterday. You know how the thing with Broadway shows now is to make a show about somebody, a modern pop star, Cher, Carole King, Tina Turner's life story is coming out next year. That will probably be very entertaining. With Simon and Garfunkel, they decided to do something a little different. They've kind of created this biopic thing where somebody plays Paul Simon and somebody plays Art Garfunkel, people that look relatively like him and can sing like them. And then behind it, there's no staging. It's just a video screen with a band. And as they play their songs and they narrate, they talk about the times, and some of the pictures that are shown on the screen reflect some of the times in the 60s and stuff, which, of course, was a fairly turbulent time. 2 hours of Simon and Garfunkel music, cleaned up at the end by a nice encore. The reason I mention this, there were three shows in San Francisco, and you can't go see it there now, but they are coming. There are a number of different troupes doing this, two different people, and one of them is coming to the Harris Center soon, which is a great venue, wonderful place to catch some really good entertainment at very reasonable prices. And so if you are a Simon and Garfunkel fan, I would really strongly encourage you to go catch this show, or you may find it somewhere else as it bops around the country. You can go online. Like I said, it's all over the place. It's even international, but it was really a fun day at the theater. And my goodness, the weekend in San Francisco, the weather down there is like On a scale of 1 to 10, the weather in San Francisco this weekend is a 14.
There you go.
So pretty, pretty cool place. But anyway, Simon and Garfunkel, kind of a blast from the past.
Well, I know you've been a big Simon and Garfunkel fan, and so am I. What particular tune did you go away singing?
The last encore song was The Boxer, and that's always kind of been one of my favorites. What was really interesting about this, though, is it really wasn't a greatest hits thing, because the first half of the show was about how they came together and got started, and they had a different name when they started. I don't want to give everything away, but they did some songs that you will not have heard.
Mm-hmm.
And they did them very well. And you can kind of see, you can hear in the evolution of the music from their very first songs, and as they kind of start to get going, and you can hear that sound that eventually became their sound. When they did that reunion in Central Park in 1981,
mm-hmm.
500,000 people.
Man.
10 years later, Paul Simon does a concert in Central Park, 1991, by himself, without Art Garfunkel, 750,000 people. So that gives you some idea of what the popularity of these gentlemen was while they were around. Anyway, that was kind of fun.
Did they do the whole songs or just pieces
of
them?
No, they did the whole thing, but they didn't do every song. But I think by the end, the encore was Bridge Over Troubled Water and The Boxer, and I think by the end everybody walked away feeling that they had heard their favorite song and perhaps learned a little something about the people who sang the music. So that's always kind of entertaining. Those guys had kind of, they had a falling out and all kinds of stuff went on. So, but instead of turning that into 2.5 hours of drama on the stage,
mm-hmm.
they decided to just, I think, to go with the music and tell their story, but let the music do most of the talking. I think that was a good decision.
One of these days, that'll be you and me. We'll have that falling out. We'll turn it into an album, and away we'll go.
Well, if you are the person who leaves, our special guest will be able to fill in. But then I can't be giving that away.
Well, okay. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we do our best to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with that, here's Mark.
Okay, we mentioned in the headlines that the MAX flights, looks like those 737 planes that Boeing took out of the sky last spring are going to be back in the sky sometime in January. American Airlines said Wednesday that it is extending its cancellations through January the 15th, but that is because they expect those planes to be back on their schedule January the 16th. Interestingly, Southwest Airlines was the most impacted by this. In addition to United Airlines has a few of the planes. Southwest has canceled flights through January the 5th. United has canceled flights through December the 19th. So it appears as though there is a general consensus that those planes might be back in the sky. And really, what I would like to do next week, Tom, is take a few minutes and just open up the telephones and ask some of our listeners whether or not they will have any apprehension about flying on an airplane that has been out of service for 9 months.
Well, there was a lot of people, and myself included, that had been booked
mm-hmm.
before they took them out of the sky when there was just issues.
Yep.
And I'm calling up and saying, I'm thinking I'm going to see if I can pick a different flight that might not be that plane. So the question is, if you were one of those people, are you going to feel differently?
Yeah, and how long will it take to regain the public's confidence? And heaven forbid if something happens to one of those planes when they get back in the air. Empire State Building in New York City. It has always been a huge tourist attraction. A couple of other view spots in New York have opened in recent years. There's one at Rockefeller Center, and of course there's one down at the Freedom Tower down at the end of the island near the 9/11 Memorial. But the Empire State Building was the original view spot and to see the skyline in New York City. But unfortunately, when it was constructed in the 1930s, it wasn't perfect. And there were pillars and there were different things that blocked the view when you got up there in the building. So they closed it down. They have remodeled it. And they've doubled the ticket price, it should be noted. But now they have taken out all of the obstructions. So this beautiful view of New York City. And if you go to travelguysradio.com, the entire story is there, along with some information on the ticket prices and a picture of the view, the new view from the Empire State Building. So if you're going to New York City, that is something that you might want to include on your itinerary. World Food Day is October the 16th. And so from our friends at Wallet Hub comes a press release that talks about the food friendliness of different cities around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Sacramento has become a known as a foodie town in the last few years here. And so they listed all of these cities, 1 to 50, and Sacramento, interestingly enough, lands in the top 20 in most of the categories. But the biggest surprise to me was Sacramento is number one among any city in the country of affordability and accessibility of highly rated restaurants. And the fact that Sacramento landed in the top 20, the median here is 91st place. Wow. So Sacramento is really affordability and accessibility, number one, but restaurants per capita, gourmet specialty food stores per capita, wine, craft breweries and wineries per capita, coffee and tea shops, number of grocery specialty grocery stores. Sacramento ranks very highly in the foodie friendliness of Sacramento. That's what the folks at Wallet host.
Of course, and I'm on a diet.
Flight Attendants Union is asking the FAA to ban vaping and e-cigarettes on planes. This is kind of interesting because remember that they don't let you put your vape stuff in your checked bag. So if the flight attendants were able to get this passed and get this through, you would not be able to take vaping stuff with you in your carry-on bag, which means you would not be able to take it with you on the plane. So stay here, and we'll try to give you an for those of you who are still left out there who are vaping, taking your life into your hands. Why then we'll give you an update on whether or not the pilots, the flight attendants union, is able to pull this off. Uber is launching a new pet feature in select U.S. cities, and let me say up front, Sacramento is not one of them. Uber Pet, this is going to start next week in Austin, Denver, Nashville, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Philadelphia, Phoenix, and Tampa.
Pet feature?
A pet feature. Now when you order an Uber, when the car gets there, if you have a pet, the driver has the right to be able to decline whether or not they want to take the pet. So now Uber is going to, Uber has always encouraged you to call the driver when it's identified and ask them so that you didn't have to go through all of that mating session there, but riders can expect to pay a surcharge of $3 to $5 for Uber Pet, of which the drivers will receive a portion. And so then you know that the driver will accept the pet in the car when they come. And of course, pets carry, dog shed, things like that. So cars are going to have to be cleaned, I'm guessing, a little bit more often. But anyway, it's a special new feature that is up to people who ride with Uber in some cities starting next week. We'll let you know if it comes up in Sacramento. Domestic airlines raised their airfares by $5 each way last week, led by Southwest Airlines. One of the few exceptions, routes to Hawaii did not go up on any of the carriers. So competition has gotten a little bit stronger there than it used to be. We talked, this was kind of fun. Let's save that one for the next segment. I got the airline, the runways in Folsom. That's a pretty big deal.
I know. A lot of people get to that.
A lot of people didn't know there were runways in Folsom, and so here we are to reveal it. One last thing here. This is a really interesting article. It was in the Sacramento Bee last week. I don't know if you caught it or not. The title was "Why Life-Saving Drugs May Be Missing on Your Next Flight." Airlines are required to carry a certain number of life-saving drugs in the sky. Recently, they were given an exception so that they don't have to carry some of these drugs. It's a really interesting article. The only airline that has not taken advantage of any of these exceptions is Southwest. So they are carrying all of this stuff on the and I don't want to go in. There's a lot of technicalities here and stuff like that. But if you have some special health problems, some of these are things like stuff to get your heart started back up again in the sky. And if somebody's having an allergic reaction, stuff like that, flight attendants know how to administer these drugs. Now, some airlines have gotten an exception and are not necessarily carrying them. So if you think that this might apply to you, this is an article that came from the Sacramento Bee on Tuesday, "Why Life-Saving Drugs May Be Missing on Your Next Flight." That's something you might want to look into. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys again. Our website, travelguysradio.com. Lots of good stuff there, including links to some of the stuff we're going to be talking with our special guest.
Not
that far away.
The
secret guest that...
He or she is sitting over there. Right now, we're working on the voice modulation equipment.
Yes, just patiently waiting. All right, coming up next on The Travel Guys, have you ever thought about, wanting to take all those points and chase that dream vacation?
Wow.
Well, guess
First
what?
First class to Europe.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's some bad news ahead here on The Travel Guys. Oh, yeah, we're also going to talk about that hotel room at the end of the runway there at the Folsom Airport. Next on The Travel Guys. So you'll know Mark and Tom are The Travel Guys, but Luis Aquino is the brilliant producer who comes up with the right song at the right time.
Yeah, pretty cool. Thank you, Luis. That was awesome. So, we talked about this here. If you go to Expedia, which many people do, we tell people to go to third-party websites to shop. Some of them, unfortunately, buy their travel products there, which good luck on that. If you go to Expedia and Expedia knows where your computer is and they think that, the closest city is Folsom, so they immediately populate your computer with Folsom, and they go through, and you can flights right here. What does that say?
Okay, it says this is the Expedia website that Mark pulled this from, and it says flights to Folsom, Sacramento, 156. Bundle your flight and hotel stay.
Yes. So it says flights to Folsom, and then later on it asks you here how much it tells you how much is the cheapest flight to Folsom.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get on the second page here, and this is the kicker that tells you that nobody's really paying attention. This is what really should tell you not to buy anything on a third-party website, because it tells you how much they're paying attention. Are there hotels near the airport? Keep in mind, we're still talking about the Folsom Airport. Prefer to recharge before exploring? It's easy as pie. When you search our catalog of 4 Folsom hotels, all the courtesies you want are at your convenience. Travel like an expert and make a reservation close to the runway at one of our airport hotels in Folsom. Is that not exactly what that says?
Exactly what it says.
So first thing I want to know is there anybody who can tell us where the airport is in Folsom? And I'm wondering who in their right mind would want a room at the end of the runway at any airport? Because the noise level, first of all, would be catastrophic. Never mind if something catastrophic didn't happen. But so you log on to Expedia, and they know everything about everything that has to do with travel. They can get you a room right at the end of the runway at the Folsom Airport.
There you go.
So
you heard
if that doesn't make you a smarter traveler, by God, I haven't got anything that will help you. Okay. Over the course of the year, we've talked here on The Travel Guys a few times about, for those of us who are miles and points people, and by the way, there are becoming fewer of those people, because more and more people are looking at this and saying, this is complicated, and you guys move the goalposts every time I get close to an award, so why would I want to mess with this? And for people who say that, I say, not surprising that you feel that way. If you're an occasional traveler or an occasional stayer in a hotel room or something like that, and you're saying, well, Jesus, these points are going to expire in 2 years, and what am I going to do here? If I buy this fare, I don't get any points, but if I buy this inflated fare, I get 3 times points. Are the points really worth the extra that I'm? And goodness gracious, now all the airlines have taken the award charts. It used to be that you could pretty much count on the fact that if you got 25,000 miles, you could get a round-trip ticket to a reasonable destination on most airlines. And that if you had 50,000 miles, you could probably get a first-class ticket. And if you picked a really popular route, it might cost you $50,000 for that coach ticket, and it might cost you $100,000 for the first-class ticket. But basically, those were the ceilings. When you went internationally, one of the things that people save for who are miles and points enthusiasts are those upgraded seats on long haul flights, because they're expensive. And if you can do it with points or miles, we'd get that business class seat or that lie flat seat across the ocean that was $4,000 or $5,000. Why then that's you've legitimately gotten some good value out of your miles. But the problem now is that the airlines are floating the award charts. So what that means is that Let's say it used to cost 150,000 miles to get to Africa in a first-class seat. Well, now the airlines have said, well, we're going to float it. It's based on supply and demand. So now, in some cases, that seat sometimes may be 150,000 3 days a year. And the rest of the time, it may be 200 or 300. Or if you're trying to fly on Delta, that seat that used to be 150,000 miles is now 930,000 miles almost every day of the year. So how discouraging would that be if you thought you were going to take the vacation of a lifetime, you saved for 5 or 6 years to get to that point, only to find out that not only had the goalposts been moved, they literally had been taken out of the stadium. So what Delta is telling you is that you're not getting a first-class seat to Africa on our flight. So it really has had an impact on the people who, the number of people who have chased these dreams. And the bottom line to this is if you're one of these people who chase points and miles, whether it's for a hotel room or there's something really cool that you want to do, then keep a good eye on it because the goalposts, it's possible, could get moved in the middle of the game, and they might get moved more than once if it takes you a long time. One other quick thing here before we get done. This has come up 3 times on different travel websites in the last couple weeks, so I thought I would share it with people in the Smarter Travel segment. You know how hard it is to get a refund from an airline if you didn't follow the exact rules. I'm sorry, there's this fee and you can keep the rest. Southwest recently, don't tell anybody, called a Southwest and a polite plea might get your travel funds extended if they're about to expire. You buy a Southwest ticket, you can't travel. They convert it to travel funds. It's good for a year from the time you buy the ticket. So now several people have reported that they have smooched and smoozed, schmoozed Southwest, and Southwest has said, well, you've got a legitimate reason here. You had an illness, something, we can extend this a little bit further for you. So if you have some Southwest travel funds that are about to expire or have already expired recently, I'm not talking about 3 years ago, you might call and nicely ask them. Some people are reporting that this is not something they have to do, but something they might do. If you call Southwest, you might get those travel funds extended. Just a thought.
Well, okay, there you go. That's our Smarter Traveler segment. And coming up right after we find out what's going on in the news and around the world, we're going to talk real ID with somebody who has been there.
Yes.
Someone who has gone to the DMV, who has gone to the website and has helped figure it out for us.
And he's even been to the Romano house.
Yes, that's next on the Travel Guys.
The unemployment rate is at a 4.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Second half of the program here. Our secret special guest is sitting across. We've had, of course, to pull all the blinds and everything here in the studio so that nobody would be able to come in and find out. It's very high security here at the Travel Guys. I want to tell you about something quick here before we go to our special guest and we talk about Real ID. On Saturday, October the 26th at Ironstone Vineyards, they are going to take the classic silent movie Phantom of the Opera starring Lon Chaney. And a gentleman from Carmichael is going to come out and play the pipe organ, and they are accompanying on the Alhambra pipe organ, we should mention. And there's going to be an opera singer there, too. And they're going to show the silent movie at Ironstone Vineyards. And Sports Leisure Vacations is offering a trip to see it. We have some tickets that we cannot sell, and that is your advantage. If you call the Sports Leisure Vacations office on Monday morning and you ask about the Phantom of the Opera at Ironstone Vineyards, this is a $129 trip. You get to see the show. It also includes a casual dinner and popcorn for the show. The retail price is $129. You can get it for less than half, $59. There are a dozen seats. Call Sports Leisure Vacations at 916-361-2051 on Monday. Mention the Phantom of the Opera at Ironstone Vineyards, and you can go for $59 if you're one of the first 12 people to call. So we have a special guest here in the studio, Mr. Romano.
I know. I'm looking right at her or him.
At her or him. this has been kind of fun. Our special guest here is Stephanie Romano, who is the lovely wife of Thomas Romano here. And Stephanie, you had the opportunity. The reason that you are here with us today is because you went and did the whole Real ID thing.
I did.
You got ahead of the whole game and went and got your, at least you went and applied for your real ID. And we thought, would it be terrific to have somebody who's already done this, since a whole bunch of us, me included, Tom included, mm-hmm. have not done it yet. And if we want to fly on an airplane after October or next year, we need to. So let's talk a little bit about the real ID process that you went through just, what, last week?
Yes.
Before, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so when you started, what was the first thing that you did? You've got to get a real ID, so what's the first thing that you did?
Well, I knew my birthday was coming, so I needed to make an appointment, and I thought best time to get my real ID at the same time. So I probably did 2 months early. I wanted to make sure I got in before November, and I made my appointment. It took about 2 months of waiting, and as soon as you go to the dmv.ca.gov,
I'm going there right
and
now on my
on
computer,
now, yep.
And there's a picture of a real ID. And
so,
I'm
if you want to,
clicking,
if you're someplace where you have a computer, what
yes.
was the website again? It's
it is dmv.ca.gov. G-O-V.
Dmv.ca.gov. Okay, so Tom's going there, and maybe some other folks are. So you went there to that website.
Yes, I did. And at the top of the screen, they allow you different choices. The real ID takes up the whole middle screen, but the first thing I did was make an appointment. And that's one of the selections at the top.
But you didn't get an appointment like right away.
No, it took a couple months ahead to get the appointment. And I set that up. I chose Folsom as my location.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just...
Now, you did that. You made that appointment so a couple of months ago. And we talked last week how the best appointment, the newest appointment was in early December. And Tom, you said that you went on.
Yeah, Stephanie and I were kind of going over the details of what we were going to talk about today. So I went to the dmv.ca.gov and clicked in and began to fill out the forms, just your general questions that you might expect. And I drilled in to go ahead and make an appointment to go ahead and get this going. And January 11 next year.
So already in just a matter of a week or two, we've moved back a whole month. You were 2 months to wait. We talked about 3 months. Now we're talking closer to getting up to more than 3 months. So the point of all of this that I wanted to make was, folks, don't wait till the last minute, because you may not, it's going to take a while to get an appointment. So you were proactive. You went online. You made an appointment. Now, once you've made an appointment, what's the next step?
The next step is the real ID. If you click on it, you can say for more information, and it will guide you through the questions. It'll ask you, what do you have for an ID, a passport? It gives you choices. And if you say, I don't have any of these, then it sends you to the next screen. Essentially, they will end up telling you every piece of paper you need to go and get your real ID. For me, go ahead.
Now, so Tom's on the website mm-hmm. here, and you've got this up, and it says...
Now, there's a place where you can take a quiz where it will ask you some questions about your real ID and why you're getting it. Then there's a complete an online application. You're going to want to do that, because when you're all done, it's going to kick you back a code that will represent you that you'll take to the DMV office like Stephanie did, and that will help them access all the information that you completed on the online application. And Stephanie mentioned that there's a place there to view the document checklist that you're going to need to take. So, Steph, what was it that that you gathered together? What did you find out you needed to take with you?
I needed to have a certified or the original copy of your birth certificate. And then if you are married or you have a name that is different than on your birth certificate.
And this is really important.
This is an important piece.
If your current name
does not
on your driver's license does not match your birth certificate, then you need your birth certificate.
Then you need like your marriage license.
You need your marriage license.
Because my name on my driver's license is Romano. So I had to have my marriage license to show, oh yeah, I was originally this name and now I'm Romano.
Mm-hmm. So the point is, you logged on, got your appointment, and then there are some other proactive things that you can do, Tom, that you have done, things you can fill out and mm-hmm. preparations you can make. And it looks like there's a spot here, a checklist, a whole checklist of things that it's telling you that you need. And you, when you went to DMV, Stephanie, didn't you tell us that quite a few of the people who were in line ahead of you were rejected because they didn't have...
Yes, they have you stand in line, and then when you get to the front of the line, I had an appointment, mm-hmm. but I still had to stand in a line, and you get up there, and they go through all of your paperwork and check everything off, and if you don't have everything, they don't even let you continue on to where you might try to get your ID. And a lot of people, when they got to that point, were missing things that they needed, and they had to leave.
So those folks made their appointment. They did everything right. They went online, but they got to the DMV, and they didn't have the right documentation.
Right.
So the only thing they could have done at that point is, I guess, they could have renewed their driver's license, probably, but they wouldn't have gotten a real ID because they didn't have the right. So now they have to start all over again. And this is really important, because if you put this off until July or August or September of next year and some glitch happens and you can't get your ID, then you have to go to the back of the line. The back of the line may be past the deadline date.
The line could be a good hour long.
and you saw that there were quite a few people that were being that were not able to continue and complete the process on the first visit.
Yes, she was surprised. When I got there, she goes, "Oh, you have everything." So she doesn't see that a lot. But I feel if you go through the checklist, because it'll give you all the options.
Tom, you've got this checklist up right now online, right?
I do. And it reminds you that you're going to need, if you have a passport, that's going to be helpful. You're going to need your Social Security card. You're going to need or something that has your Social Security number listed, such as your income tax form. You're going to need two pieces of mail that show that you live at the residence that appears on your driver's license. And as Stephanie mentioned, if you had a change of name along the way, you're going to need that. Now, keep in mind, if you were married, changed your name, and then you got divorced, you're going to have to bring your divorce documents to show that the name has been changed back or changed to whatever.
The point is, this could be rather complicated. It's not something that even if you... Let's pretend you have all these documents. You might not be able to put your hands on them in 20 minutes. It might take a day or two, or you might have to email a county office and pay a fee and get a duplicate copy of something or something like that. So this is not. And then when you went in, you had an appointment.
Yes.
You went in. The lady said you've got the right stuff. And then didn't you say there was, but then it wasn't just see you later,
no,
Stephanie.
I still waited almost an hour for my turn to get to the window to get my real ID.
So this took a couple hours total, even though you basically had aced it.
Yes.
And didn't have to go back. It still took a couple hours and probably, I'm guessing, just a tad bit of patience.
Yeah, you'd bring something to read.
Tom, you got an appointment, you said, for January.
I did, but here again, I made it today, and we're talking January 11th was 3 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you think that maybe if you do the check-in and try to book it in January, that it's only going to be 3 months, it could be 4 or 5 months, because it's only going to get busier and busier.
With the high percentage of people, as Stephanie indicated, who are going on the first, I think this is really the most important piece of information we can share with people. You've got to go online and look at that list of stuff you got to take with you, because it's very different from what you need to get a driver's license or an ID card or something like that.
It's probably closest to the stuff that you would need to get a passport, but it might also include some extra if you've had name changes along the way. But it's just as in depth.
We probably should mention that you're listening to the Travel Guys on KFEK with Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, and our special guest today. We're talking about real IDs and how to get them. And Tom's wife Stephanie went through this whole process recently, and when she told us what all was involved, even though she'd done everything exactly the way she was supposed to, this is a complicated thing. And so if you travel at all, that all we're kind of doing here is trying to point out to you that this might not go smoothly. And so you need to start on it now. I'm going to go back, and now that you've gotten me, Tom, you're in the queue, I'm going to go back Monday and get in line.
Yeah, I would. It's really, for the listeners, don't be afraid of it. It's not that complicated. If I can do it, with my C average, and what did I get? Made it through fifth grade, I think. That's it.
Well, if you've never made an appointment with DMV, it'll give you the next one that's available at the location you want. And then it will also show you other locations that are close by and when the one is for those, like Carmichael.
Quick tip, I did a speaking engagement up in Auburn last week, and the folks that were up there said their DMV office rarely has any lines or waits. And I've heard the same thing about Jackson, and you mentioned Placerville might be a place. So that's another thing. As we get closer or you need to do this right away, why that might be something that you can do. Thank you, Stephanie.
You're welcome.
For coming in and sharing all of your expertise with us. It was nice to have the entire Romano family here for a few minutes.
Yes,
it was fun being on the other side of the mic from you.
All right. Thanks, honey. What's for dinner?
Ooh, I wish I'd like to be a fly on the wall tonight at the Romano residence.
All right, coming up next here on the Travel Guys, we sat down with a guy who made it a goal and wrote a book all about going to
365
sporting events in 365 days. Let's see how he did. That's next on the Travel Guys. Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK every Sunday at 3 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget now, no matter where you are on the planet, you can catch the show live at iHeartRadio, and you can always follow along with all that we talk about. Links to our special guests at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark?
Tom, today we have a guest here. This is kind of an interesting situation. Jamie Reddy wrote a book called Need One, and you'd think, wow, that's kind of it. Why would you have a title called Need One? Ever been outside of a sporting event, a popular sporting event, and there's always some guy there with a piece of cardboard and it's need one ticket, you know, kind of thing. So that's what this is about. Jamie's goal was to try to see 365 sporting events in 365 days. And that took him to a variety of different places. We've asked him to share some of his adventures with us on the Travel Guys. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
So how old were you, first of all? This has been a couple of years ago that you attempted this. How old were you when you decided that you were going to spend a year of your life trying to watch sporting events?
Did my parents call you guys and plant that question? I was 43.
Wow.
That's fine. I had determined that if anyone was going to attempt this ridiculous project, there you would have to be jobless, relationship-less, and childless. And that meant that I was uniquely qualified to take it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say it's a little early for a midlife crisis. It's a little late for a young adventure. So, yeah, you were kind of in the middle there. Jamie, so tell us, you didn't have a lot of money, I'm guessing.
Correct. I was trying to do some crowdfunding and fell well short of my goals. So then I was just total living on a very tight budget.
Where was your home base when you started this?
Manhattan Beach, California. So just about 10 minutes from LAX airport.
Okay, so how did you start your journey? I mean, obviously there was some research involved. You had to figure out what you're in Los Angeles, so there's lots of sporting events down there. Give us an idea of how far did your journey take you? Did you keep track of how many miles that you traveled? Or?
Yep, so I built it. I built my initial schedule around the college and pro football schedules in terms of which stadiums I wanted to hit and which teams I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And so that gave me a pretty solid skeleton, but it also took me all over the country. So in the 5 months that I was on the road, spoiler alert, I didn't make the 365. I drove 18,000 miles in my 10-year-old Saab, which was constantly on the brink of explosion.
18,000 miles. So you built your schedule around being able to attend professional events and college events. What was the most spectacular? I mean, did you attend a Super Bowl or a World Series game? And give us an idea of, you know, what was your toughest ticket or your greatest find at the last minute? What was your greatest professional sports adventure?
Those are all fantastic questions. The best sporting event or the most significant one was I did get to the Super Bowl where the Seahawks killed the Broncos. And it was also one of the easiest tickets that I got because a friend of mine is an executive at NFL Network. And he had thrown it out to friends of ours who are, one guy's a Niners fan and one guy's a Seahawks fan. And he said, all right, whoever wins the NFC Championship game, you guys get my tickets. And I, because I'm a very shy person, said, awesome, and then you can bring me. And both guys were like, why would we bring you? And then because they're both very nice guys, they honored it. And so the Seahawks fan, even though he could have bought somebody else, he took me. So I got to go for free, which was fantastic, obviously.
So you kind of weaseled your way into the Super Bowl. Okay, so that's a professional event. Give us an example of a non-professional event. I mean, did you run into a pickup softball game or, you know, the junior high school girls volleyball tournament? Or were you ever at a spot where you had to really reach for something?
The most desperate I got was driving from my parents' house outside New York City. I was heading down to Atlanta, and I was completely jammed up. And I remembered that as a single guy living in the L.A. area, I had belonged to a sport and a social club that had co-ed flag football. And so I looked them up on Facebook, and sure enough, Atlanta had a sport and social club. And the guy, the founder, invited me to their inner tube water polo league match. And inner tube water polo is exactly what it sounds like. It's 10 people in inner tubes playing water polo. And they even invited me to play in the game, which was a highlight.
Jamie, you 365 sporting events in 1 year, one a day. What was the closest to missing one that you ever came?
I was driving from Park City, Utah, to San Francisco, and everything that I thought was scheduled was not. I was incorrect. And I found a co-ed adult volleyball league that had a game at 9:30 p.m. So that was the closest.
I knew volleyball was in there somewhere.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and it turned out that female indoor volleyball became my new favorite sport. I started watching the Nebraska Cornhuskers women's volleyball team play. Those women are such amazing athletes, and just the team spirit and the crowd was so into it. I ended up going to five of those matches. They were fantastic.
We're talking with Jamie Reddy. Jamie is the author of a book called Need One, in which the premise was to attempt 365 sporting events in 365 days. Jamie, before I let you go, let me ask you, since this is a travel show and you did admittedly 18,000 miles of travel, what wisdom could you share? There's got to be somebody out there. I mean, I take people on baseball adventures once a year, or we'll do a variety of ballparks and baseball monuments and historical sites and things like that. What would you tell somebody who's thinking about doing something like this themselves? Because I know there have to be dozens of people listening right now who at some point in time have considered this for a sporting event, for perhaps Broadway shows, whatever. What wisdom could you share?
The one thing that I learned from crashing with my best friend when he was on a corporate trip is trying to maintain some semblance of normalcy. And one little trick is to completely unpack your shaving kit on the counter of the hotel room bathroom. And it seems simple, but just doing that and having everything out and organized kind of gets you in a routine, and it makes the endless travel feel more normal, and you have a better sense of kind of being at home, even though you're not at home. And that's something that I've continued to do in my business travel over the last 6 years.
Jamie, you're doing podcasts now, and that have to do with the book. And so if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can find a link to the podcast. So if you are a sports fan, or this sounds like an intriguing adventure, or maybe you're thinking about something like this yourself, go to the podcast and see what Jamie has to say. Jamie, thank you so much for your time today, and congratulations on what sounds like a really lifetime-type adventure.
Thanks for having me, fellas. It was a lot of fun.
All right, let's take a minute here before we go, Tom. I want to remind folks, if you want to see the silent movie Phantom of the Opera at Ironstone Vineyards at a very special price, transportation, dinner, everything all included, $59, call Sports Leisure Vacations tomorrow morning.
Thanks to my bride, Stephanie, for coming in and making us smarter. Well, real ID go-and-getters. Thank you, honey.
Thanks, Stephanie, for coming in and being part of the program.
Thank you, guys.
And thanks for loaning us Tom every weekend.
You bet.
All right, Mark.
Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3:00.
turn around.